Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. In today's sermon titled, Breathe In, Breathe Out, Reverend David Williams tells us that in addition to being given the gift of forgiveness through the resurrection of our Lord, we are also given the charge to share the gift of forgiveness with others. If we don't, then we have missed the point of God's gift.
Please be seated. As we come into this place, we come in to this time with one another from the outside. We come into this time as people who live most of our lives in a culture that teaches us about what it means to take, what it means to consume. We are, after all, consumers. We think of ourselves that way. We think of ourselves in terms of what we can have, what we can gather in, what can belong to us, what we can hold. And that shapes the way we approach our world. And it makes it harder for us to do the giving, to do the sharing, to do the offering up that is an essential part of living into God's kingdom. So right now, as we come into the presence of our generous God, we need to think of the ways that we fall short, that we grasp, that we hold, that we do not give. Let's do that using the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin. First, reading it together, and then speaking those ways that we have been grasping, the ways that we know. In the silence of our own hearts. Let's now pray this together. Please join with me. Gracious, giving God, every good thing we have comes from you. Every joy in life, every moment of possibility, every instant when hope is realized, that's all from you. When we taste those moments of sweetness, we find ourselves hungering for more. We keep seeking, keep yearning, keep hoping that maybe you'll give us more. But what you want us to do with those gifts is to share them. Instead, we turn our prayers and our hopes towards asking for more. Remind us, God of grace, that we are not called to take, but to give. Forgive us, O Creator, because we just can't seem to hold this in our hearts. Amen. And now, let's pray the prayers that only we know how to pray. Let's pray silently. And now hear the assurance of pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from John's Gospel. I'll be reading John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. You can follow along on page 115 of your pew, New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's so much of our life we just don't think about. We just don't pay any attention to it. It just goes on in the background of our existence. Like breathing. Simple. A basic part of life, so simple that we don't really even think about it most of the time. Well, maybe we've been thinking about it a little bit these last couple of weeks. For most of us, we're out there and it's now spring. The world around us is this joyous riot of life, and the air is warming up. And our mornings now begin, you know, like my mornings have begun this last week, with the fluttering of bird song as the sun rises in its brightness, and the glorious sound of our dogs sitting out in front of our bedroom going hacking and sneezing as every last breath brings in those delightful floating flecks of spring. Of that spring pollen, which embeds in our eyes and coats our scratchy sinuses and phlegmy throats. I mean, y'all did want spring to be here, right? So it's here. But in those times when the air isn't filled with a vast cloud of tiny little spiky balls, we don't tend to think about breathing. Just happens, and it happens a lot. We don't operate our diaphragms. We don't think about how they breathe for us, about how they contract and it draws air deep into our lungs and then release, and the air goes back out of us. We do that between 8 and 15 times every minute. We do that 17,000 times a day. And we don't think about it. It's just there. And we can control it. We can. If we want, we can accelerate the process and breathe in and out really quickly, which if we do long enough, we'll hyperventilate and fall out of the pulpit, and that's not going to be good. We can also, if we choose, not breathe. But after a while, that's going to have the same effect. You're going down. For breathing to work, we have to take it in, we have to let it out. We have to receive it, we have to send it. We simply have to. It's what it means to live. That's true for so much of us. Our lungs are partnered in that intricate internal dance with our heart, which functions exactly the same way. We breathe in, we breathe out, the oxygen goes into our lungs and then enters our blood, which is then dropped into our complex mammalian four-chambered heart, which takes it in, pumps out that life-giving oxygen, sends it back as part of this cycle of sending and receiving, all happening without our thinking, 72 times a minute, 2.5 billion times in an average lifetime. That receiving, that sending, that taking in and giving out, it's necessary if we are to live. And that sending and receiving and breath are at the heart of what Jesus was proclaiming in today's post-Easter passage from the Gospel of John. This little bitty chunk of John's Gospel is just chock full of preacher goodness. We love passages like this because they're like 27 different sermons. I mean, around the country, there are at least 100,000 pastors who this morning are talking about doubting Thomas, you know, and doubts and what it means to believe and how you need to believe and, you know, not go poking people or something like that. But there's so much in this one. It's so rich. Like even the ending, even that little last bit is a fascinating part of the way John viewed Jesus and the Spirit. Like the last two verses, verse 30 and 31 from John 20, reads, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." Kind of amen after that. That reads like a conclusion, because it was a conclusion. That was the end of John when it was first written. That was the first conclusion to that book. Challenge for us, of course, is that this is John chapter 20, and if you keep reading, that's John chapter 21. But the way this community that gathered around that beloved disciple viewed Jesus was open. It was open-ended. Think about that ending. There's other stuff. There are other stories. We haven't told you everything. We've told you what you need to know, but there's a lot more you could learn. It doesn't close things off. That's what John's theology was like. And so what most likely happened is, you know, the community gathers, they've gathered all the stories together, here it is, we've got it done. And then, you know, the next week when they're having the meeting and they're starting to distribute it, someone says, "Hey, what about this one?" They're like, "Oh, we can't leave out that 21st. You know, I mean, there's Peter and he's throwing himself off the boat and he looks like a doof the way we like Peter to look, because, you know." And so they include those stories in. And then even chapter 21 ends. How does it end? It ends, "There are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them was written down, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." There's still more story to tell. You go to chapter Googleplex and you wouldn't be done with it. It just keeps on rolling. But that's another sermon encapsulated. The focus, the most interesting thing as I was meditating on this week, is the talk about breath, the talk about life. This is a story that comes right after the resurrection. Mary has met the risen Jesus in the garden, and she has run back to the disciples. And in John's story, when she tells them, they listen. They don't say, that was an idle tale, the way they did in Luke. They don't doubt. In John's story, they listen. But now they've heard this story. Where do we find them? They've heard this story and they've believed it. They've been excited. The beloved disciple has received it. Mary has received it. They know something tremendous has happened. And with this immense earth-shaking knowledge, they are where? They are behind closed doors and frightened. They've seen the death. Only some of them have seen the promise of life. And so they're keeping the doors locked. And then Jesus is there. He just is. They're gathered, and he's in their presence. He's right there in the flesh. And their response, presumably they're happy afterwards, although probably for a moment or two they're, what? Huh? So Jesus offers them, and that way that a sudden arrival that's as unexpected as that, he offers them first his peace. Peace be with you. Shalom, he says. And then, because they probably need to hear it again, he says it again. But then, having promised them peace, he presents them with a challenge. They've gotten to experience him and his return and his teachings. And they have been filled with rejoicing at this impossible presence. But that's not enough. And so he tells them this. He tells them, as my Father has sent me, so I send you. You're holed up. You're locked away. I want you out in the world. This little section is, for John's gospel, the same thing as those passages in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, it's called, where Jesus tells the disciples before ascending, get out there and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is where John says it. He says, get out there, be sent as I was sent. That's the instruction that's given. And then Jesus does something a little odd. He gives them an instruction, and then John's story says, he breathes on them. And when you're asking someone to do something, generally, you don't do that. I mean, I go to my kids, go clean your room. And I go, ah. I think that might freak them out enough that they would feel more like they want to clean their room right now because we don't know what's happened with Dad. But the breathing thing, what is that? Marching orders we get, giving instructions we get, go do this thing. No, Jesus breathes on them, John tells us. Why? Well, in the Greek that John's gospel uses to tell the story of Christ, and actually in the Hebrew language as well, the word for breath and the word for spirit are exactly the same. In Greek, it is pneuma. In Hebrew, ruach. So out flows Christ's breath. And on that breath are carried the words, receive the Holy Spirit. He gives them breath. He gives them spirit. And then he tells them what they are meant to do with that. He tells them at that moment that they have been charged with the ability to forgive or retain sin. And that's a pretty intense thing to offer up. It's a mirror. It reflects passages like in Luke 7, where Jesus declares in front of everyone that he has forgiven someone's sins, and they are, who are you? Who has the right to forgive sin? Only God can forgive. Who is this crazy guy forgiving sin? Jesus says, you have that power too. And that's what I'm sending you out in the world to do. sending you to forgive as I was forgiven, with the same Spirit, the same breath, the same hope, the same gospel. And that's a message meant for those who want to be his disciples, which should be us, given that we're here. I mean, it's a hard thing to process. We might prefer to say, well, great, you know, he's sending the apostles so that we can hear. You know, good for them. Good job, guys. We heard about it. Thanks so much. But this passage is not meant to be referring just to what happened in that room. It was meant to be heard by that first community that gathered around John's gospel. It is meant to be heard in this room. It's we who need to receive it, who need to know that we are sent, who need to feel the warm sweetness of that breath. And if we can let ourselves be grasped by that truth, then we have to ask ourselves, what, having received this breath, this Spirit, having been entrusted with it and its calling, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're not supposed to just hold on to it. We can't just receive and receive and receive and not send it out, any more than lungs can just fill and fill and fill and fill and fill and not breathe out. Or a heart can grow and grow and not pump that blood out into the body. It is not something we are meant to hold on to hold back, to keep to ourselves. Not something we are meant to grasp. None of these things make us alive spiritually. If we receive only and do not act and do not send it out, then we have missed the point of what Jesus taught and did. And our culture teaches us to miss the point. We are consumers. We are people who take in. We are people who have, who devour. And that comes easy because that's what the world teaches us. We breathe in easy, but breathing out, we have to. How we do that is by sharing faith, by sharing it, by speaking it and letting it out into the world, being open with it. But we also have to be able to live and act in such a way that those who hear us talk about faith know the reality of that breath we have been given and the life that we are leading. When Christ empowered us to forgive, that was a significant part of what it means to be breathing out his grace into the world. I mean, there is the retaining sins part. But we're really good at retaining sins. We are very, very good at retaining sins, of keeping our own meticulously detailed Excel spreadsheet of every last way we have been wronged or slighted or disrespected, with totals and subtotals and final tallies. We're great at that. But we were always great at that. We did great at that before Jesus came along. We have that one down, pat. What is harder is speaking that breath of forgiveness out into the world the way Jesus did. Speaking that word of forgiveness to those you've gotten into disagreements with, those people who are on your bad side, would they have any idea that you have been given this gift of forgiveness? You've been given that power? I mean, we've all received it. That's what Easter was about. That's what Holy Week was about. That we have been given that forgiveness from the one that we crucified. Every last one of us, with the nails of our selfishness and the hammer of our hatred. We are asked to give that forgiveness out in return. We're asked to speak it out, to breathe it out, to make it part of the life that we have been given. We have to do that to be part of the life that Christ proclaimed and lived. We have to, or else we're like a heart that doesn't beat, or a chest that will not breathe. Jesus has given us his Spirit. Breathe it in. Take it into yourself. But remember to exhale. Breathe it out. It takes practice. But when you do it all the time, every day, it becomes as simple as really living. Let that be so. For you and for me. Amen.
We are living creatures. We take stuff in, we give stuff out. We breathe a little bit of oxygen, a mess of other stuff, a little bit more carbon dioxide comes out. Heart beats. This is sort of the basic way we as creatures live. Jesus took all of those images of life and said, there is something more I have to offer you. There is a gift that I can give you, that I can breathe into you, that will change your life and change every relationship, every interaction, everything in the world around you. That was the gift of his own breath, the thing that animated him, the thing that gave him life and hope. The presence of God's Spirit bright in him. He didn't hold it in. He received it, and then he gave it out. As we receive that gift this morning, as we receive it in prayer, as we receive it in those moments when we feel the grace of the Spirit on us, we are asked to do exactly the same thing. To pour that grace out, to breathe it out. Because the world needs that. It needs that life. Not just the life of devouring and taking, but the real life, the sustaining grace and power of God's Spirit. That is the gift that all of us have been given. And it is the gift that we are meant to give everyone. So go out into that world. And share that Spirit in every deed, in every action, in every moment. That's why we're here. That is our calling as disciples. Let's live it out. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, for today, for tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.